Well, it was in the nick of time. I never felt a thing. Another step, another second, I'd have heard the angels sing. You never would believe it, it's beyond the blinking pale. St. Peter called me number, but I live to tell the tale. Well, if you're choking for a fag, they say don't take that third light. I tell you now, they're talking Tommy Rot. I took third light last night, a sniper's bullet hit me backy tin. Bounced back and hit the bloke that fired the shots. Well, it was in the nick of time. I never felt a thing, another step, another second, I'd have heard the angels sing. You never would believe it, it's beyond the blinking pale. St. Peter called me number, but I live to tell the tale. In a shell hole on the Somme, I bumped into me cousin Bob. He saved me from a hail of jerry guns. He'd bought it in Albert last year, but luckily for me, he's now working as an angel up in Mons. Well, it was in the nick of time. I never felt a thing, another step, another second, I'd have heard the angels sing. You never would believe it, it's beyond the blinking pale. St. Peter called me number, but I live to tell the tale.
As I thought, Jonas Porter, the voice of an angel, but the greatest heir to mischief that Thankful in the Vale ever saw. He'll come to a bad end, that child. Only yesterday I caught him drinking a pint pot of stout his mother had him fetch.
Mind, but he can sing, ma'am.
He will do after a pint pot of stout.
Yes, ma'am.
He needs taking in hand, that one.
Oh, he's a good lad, ma'am, really he is.
What are you doing now, girl? As you're more intent on the children than any sort of work.
Oh, they're just mucking in the snow, Mrs. Proud.
Well, watch them. If anyone needed to get to the bottom of the Christmas pig debacle, then they need look no further than Jonas Porter. How they got it on the church roof may remain a mystery, but he's the ringleader, I have no doubt.
The snow's above the cap of that little lad, look! Oh, they've a tunnel from the blacksmith's to Mr. Baker's.
Mr. Baker, the grocer.
Aye, ma'am.
If only Mr. Baker was a baker rather than a grocer, then the country's simplicity would be complete.
Beg your pardon, ma'am?
The vagaries of language, Edith. The rare and elegant poetry that elevates the hearts of men beyond the beast and fowl. A blessing hitherto unappreciated by Jonas Porter, by the sound of it.
Well, you can see, ma'am, that the tunnel runs all the way to the blacksmith's door.
What is that strange flashing light?
Oh, it's just the sun at the door, ma'am. It is Sidney's father at the forge. And by that old horseshoe, he's nailed a coin for every man away serving, land or sea.
Is that so?
30 coins there on the door. Keep them safe, so he says. I'll finish now, ma'am.
See that you do. Well, if that isn't another nail in an already leadened coffin.
Not bad news, Mrs. Proud.
It is indeed, Edith.
Oh!
Honestly, girl, you'll try the patience of Job.
Yes.
Inflation, Edith, will be the death of us all. The gentlemen predict an immediate rise of 20 shillings a barrel. 55 shillings? And that's just for mild. Bitter and Bass is even worse. How do we turn a profit with this sort of prices? And half of every barrel is now water anyway, so I'm paying 27 shillings for water that I could have added myself. Oh, you see the problem, Edith?
You're short of drinkers, ma'am?
Well, there won't be a tavern left open in England if we carry on at this rate, will there? And with the price of a loaf of bread up to 4p, how are we supposed to feed the guests? Eggs at 2 shillings a dozen? Ugh. Well, not that it troubles you, Edith, I'm sure.
'Tis the same for all folk, ma'am. A halfpenny's still only a halfpenny and will stretch no further, even if it's needed to.
A rare moment of lucidity, Edith, on your part.
Begging your pardon, Mrs. Proud, but I've been meaning to say, my 15 shillings a week ain't stretching as far as it used to.
There's no chance of a raise, Edith. You can stop that thought before it starts. Have you not understood what I've been saying?
No, not a raise, ma'am.
I should think not.
It's just that I've been hearing that there are jobs going for girls down the South Shore working at the old mill. It's been handed over.
Requisitioned. Yes, I know.
As a factory. And I just thought...
The South Shore is no place for a country girl like you, Edith. It's a haven for loose women and feckless men.
But they're talking about £6 a week, and I just thought, you know, I could do my bit and all.
Well, we can salute your patriotism at least. But there are other tasks closer to home. Only this morning I was forced to endure an hour of Mrs. Jopling lamenting her lack of a suitable assistant to help with the deliveries.
A postboy, aye.
Goodness only knows why, as it seems there is an endless supply of adequate young urchins right outside our door.
But they don't want to deliver, Mrs. Proud. They don't want to be the ones bringing bad news to someone's door. Just bad luck for the bearer and all.
Superstitious poppycock! I shall recommend you. And you can deliver the letters prior to your work here. The woman is an insufferable gossip, but otherwise fair. I shall allow you 1 hour's grace in the morning. No more, no less, and any more you shall have to make up in your own time.
But Mrs. Proud, I can't do it.
Needs must, Edith, needs must, for the good of the country and for your own fiscal security.
But I can't.
1.5 hours, then. That should be more than adequate. Nelly will have to shoulder the burden of some of your duties. No doubt she will be superior to the task. I shall write a recommendation to Mrs. Jopling this very afternoon.
But
that is the end to the matter. Enough, Edith. Enough. Nelly, a little decorum, please. Though, your timing for once is fortuitous. You are to take on some of Edith's morning duties forthwith.
Oh, me?
Only in the early morning, you know, fires and so forth. I realise it is a departure from accepted convention, but needs must.
Me? But I'm...
A chambermaid, yes. But there is a need for you to step into the breach.
But I can't.
This is no time to claim a seniority of rank. Edith will be occupied with vital war work, and you shall fill her shoes.
War work?
I am recommending Edith as the new post office assistant.
Edith?
I really don't think that I...
Are you really, Edith?
I am considering the matter settled.
I know, ma'am, but I'm not really sure...
Mrs. Jopling is bound to take you, Edie. Have you been crying out for delivery boys as
no one wants the bad news?
But it's brilliant, Edie.
Is it?
Aye. Finally, we're doing something that means something, rather than hanging around here watching the whites boil.
Well, the primary responsibility for laundry will inevitably now fall to you, Nelly, so I expect you to embrace the challenge.
I will, Mrs. Proud. But you'll have to find yourself another agitator.
I beg your pardon?
And you'd better make sure she's good at the starching and all.
I'm afraid the task is yours, Nelly. There is no other.
But it can't be, miss. This is what I've come to say. They've accepted me for the nurses.
What folly is this?
I just got the letter from Queen Alexandra's here. Oh, I'm to be a nurse, Edie.
Are you really, Nelly?
The Queen Alexandra's Imperial Military Nursing Reserve.
That's a mouthful, ain't it, Edie?
Are you really going, Nelly?
I concede that the letter appears genuine.
They're after 10,000 new recruits.
Lowering the bar in the process, I imagine.
That's not fair. I passed the entrance paper they sent me by correspondence, best in my area.
Nursing is a noble profession, most suitable for a lady with pedigree and breeding.
Aye. All they've changed is the requirement for nurses to have a title or be presented at court.
We may be at war, Nelly, but we'll not discard the bedrock of social strata that sets the apart from savages.
They need lasses who can deal with men and stomach the sight of blood.
Nelly.
And who can change beds. And after the years of working in a coaching inn as a chambermaid, I can't see how I could be any more qualified. I've turned more beds than I've had hot dinners.
With a notable difference in appetite for the latter.
Finally, my hospital corners are going to come in handy. Oh, I'm to leave for the South Coast at once. They'll push me through sister training, if I prove I can take it, and away to Flanders as soon as I qualify.
It's all so quick.
Quick as they like for me. I don't want to miss it.
And when do you think you are leaving?
As soon as they found me some lodgings near the college.
But this is preposterous. It is the height of inconvenience. At Christmas? Thinking of yourself as usual, Nelly. You always have had a selfish streak. Well, they'll have to wait. It's as simple as that.
But the war won't wait, Mrs. Proud. Not for any one of us. I'll be on my way as soon as they'll have me.
You always were an impossibly determined girl. Congratulations, Edith. You have an immediate promotion. Sole charge of all domestic chores, duties and obligations, from the top of the house to the scullery.
Thank you, ma'am, I think.
And as for you, Nelly, I suppose we shall have to soldier on without you. I cannot say that I envy you the path that awaits you. The danger, the peril, the unspeakable horror of war that will become your everyday existence. But moreover, to be cut adrift from the solace of the quiet grace of women and cast upon the mercy of a churning, ferocious sea of masculine dominance, manly preponderance and inflexible male discipline from morn till night!
I know, ma'am. It's like all our Christmases come at once.
That's the prayer we whisper in the deepest dark. We're bruised, confused, but we're thankful. For 3 long years of war have left their mark. Our chances and our choices are but do or die. The roaring boom of guns our only lullaby. And none of us could truly ever tell you why. But we hold our head up high and say we're thankful. 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 We're muddy, bloody, but we're thankful for the camaraderie we've come to share. We're weary, never teary, but we're thankful. Though our burden's often more than we can bear. The rolling fields of Flanders are not home to me, but to see them turn to mud is such a tragedy. There are fields so far away where we would rather be, but together we agree that we are thankful. 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 We have to pay, but each and every one of us that make that day will be the first to say that we are thankful, thankful, thankful.
I shall address these ramblings to you, Edie, safe in the knowledge that you shall keep my secrets. And in setting down these thoughts, try to find a way to remember this world behind the lines. Already Christmas seems like a lifetime ago, though our little hospital band were merry enough. The men had put together acres of paper garlands, and we even had a real tree, a definite step up from last year. Well, I only think of it now on a spring night in March, as I received Mrs. Trotter's Christmas cake this very afternoon. Goodness knows where the parcel's been all this time. But, aside from a profound dent to the tin, the cake seems to have survived intact. I may test it out on the new auxiliaries at breakfast. That'll sort out the hardy ones from the new crop. We're still under canvas for the time being, till the new dormitory wing is completed, but hey, the nuns next door get us a bath now and then. Keep us feeling human. They're actually a sociable lot. And I see them gathered at the well with the orderly, sharing jokes and news. Until the bell rings, they all fall silent for the ladies to observe their prayers. The bell rings again and they're off chattering like sparrows. Hey, they do make the boys smile. Well, and me too. I'm hoping still to be one of the lucky ones to make it back home and see you before too very long. So put in a good word with your angels, Edie. See if they'll take pity on a daft, unwashed, wayward heathen like me.
I'm so sorry, Mrs. Proud. It's a right pea souper out there. You can barely see an hand in front of you. I got lost twice on Penny Hill, you know, in that dip by Mrs. Poulter's. And when I finally got on the right road down to the village, I ran straight into Taff and Dent. I knocked one of them flying with the bike and he has a nasty graze. No, I couldn't tell you which one, though. Even Nelly struggles to tell them apart and she's their sister. Just coming down from the station onto the side, can you believe it? Oh, they're both gunners now in a six-man team attached to the King's Own. That's how they'd lost track of the captain at rest. I am sorry that I'm late, ma'am. It's just what we see in Taff and Dent. And... It won't happen again, ma'am.
Well, I am forced to entertain guests within the gentleman's smoking room, as every other grate in the house is cold.
I thought there was nobody here but yourself, Mrs. Proud.
I have had the dubious pleasure of an early morning call from the Reverend Blend.
Oh, have you, ma'am? Oh, it's not bad news, is it? It's not Mr. Proud?
It is a most grave matter concerning Mr. Proud.
Oh, I'm so sorry, ma'am, and me going on about Taff and Dent like that.
Concerning Mr. Proud and this parcel.
What's that, ma'am?
The Reverend called at his earliest convenience to deliver this parcel, which had somehow been delivered this morning to the parsonage in error.
Oh, dear.
Imagine my mortification, therefore, with the Reverend apologising most profusely for having been somewhat distracted by his morning tea, opened the parcel at once and was somewhat surprised to find silk stockings and other ladies' unmentionables rather than his highly anticipated cassock.
Oh, dear.
By all accounts, he almost choked to death on his kipper.
Oh, dear.
The shame of it, Edith.
But I was certain Mrs. Joplin said that one was for the parsonage and this one was for the white horse.
Well, obviously, you are in error, when one quite clearly states my own address and the other the home of the Reverend Blend.
But with the fog and that...
Oh, the shame! I may never recover.
Oh, I must have muddled them in the basket.
I shall be the laughing stock of the Sunday service. I have no doubt of it. The village church is a sanctuary for gossip at the best of times, with Mrs. Joplin jostling to the fore. And now, no thanks to you, the sermon shall be underscored by the crinoline-clad rustle of whispered debate concerning Captain Proud and the sanctity of my undergarments.
Yes, ma'am.
Edith, we are not amused.
Still at the casualty clearing station, We managed to clear 2 train loads out today, so things are starting to ease. We're practically our own village now. The dormitories, the big white barn where the Belgian women work the washing. It's just like the White Horse, Edie, except every day is laundry day, and there are men's drawers as far as the eye can see. Mrs. Proud would have a field day. I'll make sure to tell her all about it when I get back. Hey, there's the most heartbreaking sunset tonight. I'd be hard pressed to describe it. The strands of clouds like sandy pathways in the sky, and the fading reds and oranges, soon to lilac. I've hardly had a moment to breathe, never mind to write, so it's just fragments of things that spring to mind. Only last week, I was stood at the cliff top and I watched the procession of villagers down to the sea. They were carrying their Santa Maria della Mare, you know, the one who watches over the sailors at sea. Oh, they cover her in the most beautiful flowers and sail her out on the tide. Oh, well, it made me think of you, Edie, and your angels. Let's hope they're still watching over us all.
Proud.
And I wonder which part of the I am not to be disturbed phrase was the one to vex you so. Let me guess. Peace has been declared along the Western Front.
Has it, ma'am?
Not today, Edith. Then has Lady Horton Blethrell finally drawn her epic speech to some sort of coherent conclusion?
She was interrupted, ma'am.
Don't tell me. Old Mr. Henry has been at the hard liquor and upended himself in the water trough again.
No, ma'am.
Well, I suppose we should be thankful for small mercies.
Yes, ma'am.
What is it, then? What event so profound has occurred that Lady Horton Blethrell was silenced thus?
There are 2 sheep in the parlour, ma'am.
Sheep?
Aye, ma'am, sheep.
Sheep?
Swaledales by the clip of them.
And what, dare I ask, are they doing at the bi-monthly meeting of the Women's Volunteer Reserve?
Protesting, ma'am.
A protest?
The right to vote.
And when will it end? Will these erudite mammals chain themselves to the railings and throw stones at our windows if their demand for emancipation is not met?
Well, they just stood there just now, ma'am.
Are they?
Quiet as lambs.
Ah, the peculiar vagaries of rural life. And dare I ask why, Edith, these unexpected revolutionaries are in my parlour?
2 of the farm workers from Nether Fenton brought them.
And has anyone had the presence of mind to question these ladies as to their reasoning for disrupting the crucial work of the Volunteer Reserve?
It's Mrs. Pankhurst's speech.
Not again.
That war was a time for all women to show your good use.
Indeed, good use. But what of the sheep?
Well, these girls said, without a doubt, these are the best ewes in flock. They're as good as you get.
Good use, girl, not good ewes. A small but integral difference in semantics.
No, no antics, ma'am. They're good as gold.
By all we have seen and done, we are forever changed. Come, Edith, let us greet these sheep in sheep's clothing and inspire them to return from whence they came. We shall appear to their better nature to trespass upon us no further and end this war of attrition through subtle diplomacy and quiet negotiation.
Beg pardon, ma'am?
Lead on, Edith, to the parlour and victory.
Right, ma'am. Oh, but mind you step in the hallway, just in case there's been another accident while I was away.
There's talk of all leave being cancelled from Friday for another new offensive coming down the line. But who knows? Maybe I'll break from the herd and make it home. Have 3 chums been drafted for the ambulance train and not one of them suited to life on the rails? I so wish I was heading out with them. But my little family still need me here, and Captain Flynn has told me to stay put. He's a fond friend, Edie. He knows I've been missing my book, so he took me last week to Talbot House in Pop, where all the officers go to get away from it. The chaplain, Tubby, has an enormous library and presides over a huge table full of military caps in the doorway. You see, the men, well, they're allowed to borrow any book they like, but they have to leave the uniform cap on the pile as collateral. No books ever leave the house, as no fellow would dare report for duty without full uniform. Tubby is the kindly mastermind behind that oasis of calm and comfort. And he gave me free rein in the library that day. It was heaven. And at the service, well, there must have been 200 men pressed into the chapel and up the stairs, and I swear he addressed every single one by name. From where I sit now, I can see right across the sea of clothes to the markers in the cemetery. There's 19 unknown boys in there now, laid to rest amongst the pals. If only I was more of an artist. Oh, I could have shared the faces, even though the names we might never know. But, as ever, my weak words fail to capture the likeness of even a single one.
Where is my name? I am.